level 9 was the main group, but then it's now Coherent Hotels with it.
That's correct.
Hello, so Jeremy Grevens, I'm the barrister for Coherent Hotels. This is Nick Grella, planner for Coherent Hotels.
Sir, I lodged, it seems like a while ago now, it was a while ago now, some legal submissions. Have those found their way to you as a group and you've read them, or yes, no?
I haven't read them, I can tell you that.
I have read them.
It's like a moving item. No, I haven't.
Not very long, are they? No, they're not very long. So, firstly, I've got some hard copies here if that's of assistance.
Yes, that would help.
So, I wasn't sure whether they had them out drunk or not, so let's start with that.
I have some
more copies of the
How many more?
Right.
Yes. Right. I apologise for not reading them.
So Coherent Hotels is the client, and I'll largely speak to these rather than reading them out, but the planning evidence of Mr. Grala, I imagine you're familiar with. So the land holdings that Coherent has are up here in Fernhill, and there's a collection of properties. So the largest of 139, and that's got the Aspen Hotel. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that or not.
Yes, we visited the site and we walked down the road and looked down onto the other properties which dropped down onto the
correct
street below.
Okay, great. All right. Well, in that case, so you're familiar. The Aspen's there, sort of an older, I'm guessing, in the 70s or 80s type hotel that's sitting there, and that's on the northern portion, and then we've got another 5 properties that are addressed in the submission. Those are residential, 4 of them owned by Coherent, and 1 currently is not. It probably would be giving away any secrets to say that in due course Coherent has interest certainly in obtaining that property through purchase. And I'll talk about those properties collectively as the site. So the property originally or previously was owned by the Reedy Group, hence why the submission is in their name, subsequently sold to Coherent. Coherent are a large hotel operator, currently I think ranked number 3 in New Zealand, and they own a range of properties. They own another property here in Queenstown and also elsewhere in New Zealand. They own the Novotel. Paragraph 4 of my submission, for reasons that Mr. Grail has addressed, the submission supported the application of the medium density residential zone. And then, of course, there was at the time this issue of the visitor accommodation subzone in play as well. And we'll obviously touch on that for reasons I'll get to, as I understand it, effectively it's sort of been put to the side for the moment and it's going to come back.
Yes.
Yeah. So the summary position now is, as between Mr. Grala and Ms. Devlin, there's essentially agreement about the zoning. The appropriateness of that NDR zoning, of course, is going to be something that you'll make a finding on that will be based on the evidence. As far as I'm aware, there aren't any particular legal issues arising about that I need to address. Mr. Grala and Ms. Devlin agree, in the context of the relief originally sought, that the issue of visitor accommodation will be appropriately addressed in stage 3. So that's my understanding and our understanding from having a look at things online. We, of course, haven't been down here and engaged on an ongoing basis, but my understanding from the exchange we've had with the council, what we've seen online, is that whole visitor accommodation issue has been dealt with in stage 3. Or what they're terming stage 3 is my understanding.
Yes, I'm trying to remember.
We were given some time frames, and I understand that I'm slightly different from that. I imagine that it's a bit of a moving target given the work we're doing. So,
and the lack of staff.
Yes, and having a
it's
lot
a very
of
small,
that's right.
People forget it's a very small council.
Oh, absolutely. So no, there's no I'm not by that meaning to indicate any criticism. We just understand that there's work going on and how to deal with visitor accommodation, in particular this whole issue around Airbnb, which I see was in the paper the other day. Mm. What does that mean? So at the time, paragraph 7 of my submission, at the time Mr. Grant prepared his evidence, there was areas of disagreement, but those have fallen away as a result of the rebuttal evidence that's been lodged. But you'll see I've summarised there what those areas of disagreement were, and that was a recommendation by Ms. Devlin to refuse the request for that VA subzone, and then this question of whether or not there should be some determination on the merits about whether that subzone should apply to the site. And I'll come back to that. Plan change, legal framework, I don't need to talk to you about that. I'm sure you know anyway, and plenty of people before me will address it. The 42A report, that recommends the rezoning of the site to MDL is logical and will enable efficient land development close to a local shopping centre and public transport route, and there's support for the zoning by other council witnesses and specialists, and I've coordinated those there, and Ms. Devlin's rebuttal that support for the NDR zone is maintained. The recommendation and reasoning of Ms. Devlin is supported by Mr. Grala, and I've summarised there the reasons why he says the NDR zone is appropriate. So consistent with objectives and policies, provides an opportunity for one large site in single ownership to be redeveloped on an integrated basis. It's within the notified neighbourhood boundary, forms an extension of the current NDR zone, is notified, so we can gain a spot zone issue. We've got those little local shops there on the corner of Richards Park Lane and Fernhill. It's a public transport route. It's not in any landscape protection overlays, and Mr. Grouse has been the rezone is consistent with the strategic direction of the plan in terms of consolidating growth. So for those reasons, Coherent's position is that the recommendation of the 42A report be adopted with respect to the NDR zone and apply to the entirety of the site. Now, turning briefly just to that VA subzone issue, and really this is just to give context to why Mr. Grant's evidence says what it does. As we've really canvassed, my understanding is that visitor accommodation has been withdrawn and the council are going to come back to it. And on that basis, Coherent's not going to pursue that relief that it sought. And I just want to make clear that that's without prejudice on Coherent's part to its rights in due course, which will arise to pursue a visitor accommodation outcome, however that might be framed up when it comes back around as part of the future plan review process. And I say as a result of that, the panel shouldn't and isn't required to make a determination on the merits as to whether a VA subzone should apply to the site. And the background to that little issue, I've canvassed, so has notified that his own was there. Ready Group submission supported it and sought an extension. Then we had council in paragraph 15 of our submissions. Now we had council withdrawing those provisions, and they've confirmed that they're going to move to a later stage. Notwithstanding the fact that those provisions had been withdrawn, Ms. Devlin, in her 42A report, statement of evidence, does address the issue. Now, to be fair to her, that's because Coherent, and it remains the case, has scope, of course, by virtue of its original submission, to address the issue. So she was responding to it, I understand that. And what that then translated into was Ms. Devlin indicating that, in her view, as I set out in paragraph 17 of my submission there, in her view, the visitor accommodation zone is inappropriate and it should be declined. Now, what I went on to say to Mr. Grala was, look, if visitor accommodation is going to be assessed in an integrated and comprehensive way later in time, then for Coherent, we won't pursue it, but Ms. Devlin was on record suggesting that there should be a decision on the panel indicating that the zone wasn't appropriate for the site, and really we should put on legal coherence response to that so that there is no doubt or confusion about where coherence stands. So that's the reason why Mr. Grala has included some commentary upon it, and subsequently we've had Ms. Devlin come back in reply in her rebuttal and agree, yes, it's going to be dealt with at a later stage, let's put this to one side, and it's been dealt with later. So on that basis, Coherent isn't pursuing those aspects of its submission relating to the VA subzone. It doesn't alter Coherent's view that that zone or something akin to it would be appropriate in due course. But for the purposes of this hearing, this proceeding, Coherent is not pursuing its submission that a VA subzone be applied to the site. So those are my...
Just on that point, are you satisfied that if the council was to come back in stage three and only identify part of the site as VA subzone, you would have scope on submission to extend it?
I believe so, no.
Over the residential zone, which may well be, well, by that stage, almost certainly there would be a council decision on the zoning.
So my understanding, I suppose it depends in part, sir, exactly how they frame up. We don't know exactly how the rule or method would work, but my understanding at present is that what was proposed was a form of overlay, as I understand it.
Yes.
So if they are to come back with an overlay later in time, if that's the same method broadly is used, then there's no reason why it can't sit over a residential zone then if it's an overlay. From that point, we're into a discussion, aren't we, from a scope perspective, about whether it can be geographically extended. Now, there's a range of case law about that and how it works, and that will depend in part on how any future plan review is framed, and the position we're taking is that we will deal with that when it arises. I believe there would be scope, but at the end of the day, until the detail of whatever comes out is known, it's a bit hard to say, because I'm not clear exactly how it will be worded and exactly how it will work.
The reason I raise this is we've got several other submitters of large submissions seeking, particularly in the rural zone, seeking a change to a zone, and they've all referred to an operative, a zone which exists in the operative district plan but has not been as yet included in the proposed district plan and may not be. There's no indication one way or the other. And clearly those people only have the opportunity now, because the zoning is up for grabs, to lodge a submission on it. Do you have any concerns that you might be left in the same position, the VA subzone that's not applied at all? Would you have lost your opportunity?
Well, there's a couple of options sitting there, isn't there, about how it will begin the speculation. So one option, I suppose, is the council decides there will be no such overlay at all. That would be tricky. If there is a form of overlay, however that might be framed up, then I'm fairly comfortable that there will be the ability to have a go at that. I mean, I guess it may be that council, other issues could arise. I accept that council might, for example, decide that however the visitor accommodation method works, it is to be restricted. I don't know the names of all the zones here off the top of my head, but it might be geographically restricted, say to, for want of a better term, the town centre, if you like.
Yeah.
And then there could be some scope challenges suggesting that it should apply in a residential area if objectives and policies have been framed in such a way that it makes it hard to extend the scope. But I suppose that the contrary position that you as a panel will be familiar with, is if we were to try and proceed with this VA zone today, it would be very difficult because, as I think I recall seeing a memorandum from you, in response, was it to Mr. Todd, I think, pointing out that if you try and bring some of these to light, the council's withdrawn them, how then do I justify to you, in terms of objectives, policies, how it fits with the plan? It becomes very problematic.
Well, it requires a lot of evidence.
It does. So my view, and I don't know whether as a panel you're going to go there, but to my mind, council can't be bound in terms of exactly what they subsequently come up with. But I do think that they need to be cognizant of putting the issue on the table. They've suddenly decided, as far as I'm aware, that maybe they haven't done enough work or there's issues they haven't thought about and they've failed out. Now that's okay, and perhaps even that's proper that they do that if they know that there are gaps in the analysis that's needed. But what follows, just from the perspective of public fairness, shouldn't then be an outcome where people who now have had an expectation that they could engage on that issue end up being served up with a stage three that's pitched in a very restricted way and shuts the door on it. Now, you can't bind them on that, I don't think, but there might perhaps, if I could venture a thought, there might perhaps be some scope, as it were, for comment from the panel about making sure, at the very least, through the consultation process for stage three, that council is cognizant of those people who have sort of been left in a bit of a no-man's land. And I think it would be very unfortunate if the opportunity is taken away now, work is done behind closed doors, and then something comes out that's very restrictive, that's quite different in nature, and people feel that they have not been given an opportunity to engage, they haven't been given an opportunity to put their case. And it will, of course, be for you as to whether it's appropriate for you in any decision you issue to make any comment about that. But, from a coherence perspective, we've talked about it. The amount of evidence we would have to have produced, I just don't think it would have been a sensible way to move forward. It would have made it difficult for us, difficult for you. The better thing is if it's genuinely going to be on the table moving forward, then fine, we will engage when that comes around. But I would hope that it's not done in a way where something lands like a bolt from the blue and there's been no engagement. And probably I can't take that in.
No, it's been very helpful. Thank
you. So then, Mr. Rudd. Oh, sorry.
Questions? Yes, Mr.
Rudd.
I guess...
You've written a summary?
No, it's not. I didn't bring a summary statement only because my statement was pretty brief in any case.
And we have read your one. So.
Yeah, so, and Mr. Rabbit's already covered the kind of high points of my statement, so I'm happy to read through it. Likewise, I'm also happy just to answer any questions you might have. Happy to flow with whatever you want to do.
Yeah. The only questions I had were to do with the VA subsidy, so and we've already discussed that matter.
But
it
might be the case.
In your statement you say that you haven't visited the site, but I guess you have now?
We were planning to
do
a decent walkover, but we obviously...
the time change was out.
So we did before this do a decent drive around.
Yeah.
I guess I'm...
This is just along the road.
It's just up the road.
Yes.
I've stayed a week down at the Heritage before, so I've walked all around here. And I guess the beauty these days with technology is Google Earth.
That's right, I'm not trying to catch you out or anything. I just wanted to know because...
I have visited the site now, but briefer than I was hoping.
On the site visit, I noted particularly, I think, with the land of Aspen Clubhouse, Steve before. And would you have a chance to look at whether there are any natural hazards?
Not as far as I'm aware. So I know Coherence started the process of looking at what they're going to do with the balance. I mean, that one of the reasons we're here is also to start discussions with council tomorrow about some pre-app to start talking about their plans for that site. But they haven't got to a stage where they're perhaps doing the geotesting yet. I know they've done a topographical survey, but that's about it. But all of that will come, you know, in the time. I don't, looking around there, and without obviously being a geotech, it seems that everything else has been able to develop on that hillside. So it's just a case of an engineering response. What the architects who that Coherence engaged at the moment, the brief that they've been doing is to look at something that responds relatively carefully to the slope and looks to go with it rather than against it.
I take it from your comments it's a rather recent acquisition.
Yeah, it must have been start of 2016. It was after the submission, but before the medium density chapter, from memory. So.
But the client is not going to just sit on the site. So as Nick says, we have a pre-app tomorrow. There's some basic concepts prepared, and in terms of those queries before, part of the discussion with council tomorrow is, let's talk about the sort of evidence. Now, we have an idea of what sort of reports and evidence you might like, council, but we'd like input from you too, because then the client's going to move into that full phase and start to get analysis done.
No, all lined up for me,
I'm quite understanding your paragraph 59 of your original reason. In supporting the council's resolution to notify decisions, then promises after the VAR accommodation person has been notified. Is that a resolution?
I think it's a council resolution, but it's certainly unusual.
I'm just casting my mind back to that. I mean, in order to understand where council's position was with this VA subzone, we had to do a lot of searching into the council reports. I know a lot of them were through committee reports, but I'm just struggling to remember where that was. I think there might have been that either it was in one of the responses to the memorandum or whether it was actually a council report talking about the approach and what it was trying to say is that they were going to time it in such a way that there wasn't this policy gap, so...
I can see why. I mean, I can understand the substance of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Paragraph 27 and footnote 14, I think, is where that's been driven out of.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so it was this Planning and Strategy Committee report. So there's a reference there where we pulled it out.
You're correct to say, I guess, that's referencing a report. I don't know if it's, I mean, what the resolution following that was. I'd have to dig into that.
Well, Ms. Vanstone,
yep.
Are you able to help us? Did the council, you will recall, in April, I think, a report was put up to the council as to the new sequencing of stages,
yes,
and when they're laid here in relation to occur. Did the council adopt that report?
I think I know that there was an amendment. I can check it out. Yeah.
Yes, if you could talk to that now, and then we'll have the answer.
Yeah. So what I was mindful on that was that just in terms of the timing of it, if they were to notify a set of decisions. After the provisions are notified, obviously the rules would have immediate effect, but at least it would set some objectives and policies that
and
would
be relied
on. And you could actually see where council were tracking with it. So it would be better than nothing, I think might happen.
Well, that's been searched out, just looking back at what I've said in my submission, and that flowed from ploughing through all of the stuff. I see I've recorded here that I understand stage three is expected to be notified in October/November 2017. Now, that may be off the mark now, I don't know. That will have been drawn from documents I was ploughing through at the time, but whether that's changed, I wouldn't know. You probably will be closer to the ground on that than me.
No.
Maybe neither of us are anywhere near the ground on it, I don't know.
Yes, so I'm just
looking
at the
Hawkesbury
Road Bridge confirmation of the minutes. And it was on the motion that was confirmed that the proposed timeline for notification and hearings for stage 2 to 5 between July in 2017 and December 2018. And I can send you those. And they also said, confirm the provisions recommended to be notified in stage 2 was transport, open space, earthworks, and Wakatipu Basin. And that was in July 2017, so obviously it's
happened.
Yep. And I'm pretty sure there might be a, I wonder if there is an amendment, but stage 3, including affordable housing and community housing and visitor accommodation, and that was notified in October, November 2017.
That would have been what I was looking at the time. Yeah. Yeah, but obviously so it sounds like there's slippage.
There may be some slippage, but our goal at present is to get the decisions on these in, or our recommendations to the council in the first quarter of next year. So, and then it will take them a couple of months for the decisions to come out. So the slippage can be up to 6 months and still be before the decisions are out. Yes.
Yeah.
Or maybe 4 months, I suppose, but yes.
That's helpful to know.
Did we have more to add?
Yeah, there was also an update of that time frame at the 24th of May.
Right.
Planning and development, and that was that provides an updated review and timeline.
And did that change the dates for stage 3?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah, and that's provided an amended outline of indicative timing for stages 2 to 4. I'll just go down and see. I'll just have to pop into the next. Unfortunately, I've got to go into the next to see what was confirmed in the minutes.
Yeah.
So I set up, you know. So let's see if they've had one. And they. I don't have confirmation of those minutes, but this is what was put up for the agenda, and I can get confirmation from the committee secretary. But that does change the timeline. So stage 2, which comprises of transport, open space, earthworks, visitor accommodation, signs, and a Wakatipu Basin variation. So notification is proposed in the third quarter of 2017 in time for hearings to be held in the second quarter of 2018.
Right. So that's
the third quarter is still similar.
Still, so for visitor accommodation, it's the same as the other ones have slipped, and we haven't put them together. So.
And sorry, was that saying visitor accommodation is now stage 2? Before
stage
it was
yes.
Being
stage
3.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I didn't, although that doesn't really change things, but sorry, I didn't pick that up. That was a week or so before I did my submission. I didn't pick that up. I was going through the piles of things online, and I obviously missed that. But okay, thank you.
So you're a little change again.
Yeah. Okay.
What was your question? But we're all better informed.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. No, I no other questions. Nothing else. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I think we might go do a walk around now. Yeah.
Yes.
Thanks.
Thank you.